How do you prepare for the greatest event in human history? Hi, I'm Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor of Fraser Church here in Montgomery, Alabama, and I'm excited to welcome you to Fraser 365. In this study, we're asking what it looks like to truly and thoroughly prepare ourselves for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is our hope that you come to a deeper knowledge of the gospel as we're challenged and encouraged in the days to come.
Thanks for listening to Day 42 of Preparation for Resurrection. Our title today is Betrayed but Glorified. D.A. Carson said, "The greatest moment of displayed glory was in the shame of the cross." Our text today is John 13, 21 through 32. After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at table at Jesus' side, so Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So that disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it." So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "What you are going to do, do quickly." Now, no one at the table knew why he had said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the money bag, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately went out. And it was night. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once." On the heels of Jesus demonstrating his love by washing his disciples' feet, Jesus acknowledges that there is a traitor in their midst. Matthew's account of this event brings additional clarity, as seen in Matthew 26, verses 20 through 25, which read, "When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, 'Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me.' And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, 'Is it I, Lord?' He answered, 'He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born.' Judas, who would betray him, answered, 'Is it I, Rabbi?' He said to him, 'You have said so.'" Jesus' announcement obviously disturbed the disciples, and they all began to ask him, "Am I the one, Lord?" Even Judas dared to ask Jesus that question. Over the past 3 years, Judas had witnessed countless times where Jesus knew what people were thinking in their hearts. He knew the power of Jesus Christ to know all things. Did he actually believe that he had Christ fooled? At that time, Judas already knew what he was planning to do. He had to know that Jesus was talking about him. It is incredible how deceiving sin can be in the minds of those who have drifted away from him. But God's divine plan had already been set in motion. In fact, as soon as Judas departed, Jesus proclaimed, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once." Matt Carter and Josh Redberg share insights from Jesus' statement. Jesus begins by saying, "Now." The now points us back to the preceding event. Judas just left to alert the authorities. The events have been set in motion that will lead to Jesus' trial, his beating, and ultimately his crucifixion. Notice Jesus doesn't simply say, "Now I am going to die." He talks about being glorified. Jesus chooses language that not only describes what he's doing, but also places what he's doing in context. He's not simply informing the disciples of his next move. He's helping them see the significance of that next move. David Guzik writes, Jesus saw the cross as supreme glorification, not supreme humiliation. It's emphasized in these two verses, glorified, 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 glorify, glorify. Five references to glory in two verses. Jesus saw the cross in terms of glory instead of humiliation. Charles Swindoll adds, throughout John's narrative, Jesus has spoken of a coming hour in which the Son of God would be glorified. Jesus announced the arrival of his hour using a form of the Greek term doxa, five times in two verses. Doxa derives from the verb dakio, which means to believe, to think. To be glorified is to be revealed in such a way as to be thought good. To be glorified is to be vindicated in the eyes of all witnesses. Therefore, the concept of glory in Jesus' vocabulary meant that the truth he had been teaching and the truth of his identity would be vindicated in the eyes of all humanity. His identity as the Word in human flesh would be confirmed by his going to the cross, rising from the dead, and ascending into heaven. While to the world, Jesus has been betrayed, he actually had taken the next step toward being glorified. Now here are some questions to consider. What does Judas's attempted deception toward Jesus say about how much he had been deceived? How does today's devotion encourage you to live for Jesus despite your circumstances? How is the betrayal of Jesus an example of Romans 8:28, which says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." Thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.